Good morning.
Good morning.
I hope you're doing well. I just wanted to share, I have a few announcements for you. And of course, if you have any more announcements, feel free to come up when I ask you to. Just calling out that the Women's Fellowship will be participating in the National Night Out on Tuesday, August 6th. Which is from 5 to 8, and it's at the Bethel Fire Company grounds, so feel free to stop by and have a cookie and socialize. Also, just wanted to highlight, I had the pleasure of being here this past week, Monday through Friday, to help out with the VBS. We finished up a wonderful week. We were doing In the Wild is what our theme was, and we had 79 children, 43 helpers, exploring different locales and habitats and getting to witness different moments of Jesus's life. And so I think we all had a great time, and I just want to thank all the teachers, the volunteers, Christian Ed Board, the picnic committee, congregation for your prayers and support, donations that you had given, and the VBS committee, which was, I know, Diana, Holly, Tammy, Ashley, and Sarah. You guys, thank you so much. You did a great job. And that's in the bulletin. I just really wanted to say thank you to everyone. And am I missing any announcements? Is there anything else anyone wanted to share? Okay, then I just want to, just to kind of get our hearts in the right spot, I'm just going to read to you a little bit from Psalms 8, Psalms chapter 8, verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes to still the enemy and the avenger. And now, if I can find what we're going to be doing. We'll have our opening hymn, A Wonderful Savior is Jesus My Lord, number 598. Please rise and join us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any joys or concerns that anyone would like to share with the congregation at this time?
Bible school was a wonderful joy for me. I hadn't helped for many years in Bible school, and I just praise God that we touched a lot of children and helpers and my parents.
Thank you, Renee.
I just asked for continued prayer for, well, Jenna had a car accident. She's doing well. She's recovering. My grandmother had a heart attack. She's at Phoebe Burks right now. She's doing well. And I'm going to be having cataract surgery coming up, so I would ask you to keep all of us in your prayers.
Just ask, continue to keep Daniel in your prayers. He goes for a CAT scan and an MRI tomorrow down at CHOP. So for safe travels and good results.
I just have to reiterate what you said, Ashley and Renee. I think we had a really fantastic week here at Bible School this year. Thank you so much to all of you who came out to help us in so many ways, whether it was just cutting strings or folding papers. It really, truly does take a village to raise children, and I really just am very grateful to God for all the help we had this week.
Some prayers for John's brother who has cancer for the second time.
All right, thank you. Please join me as we go take this all before the Lord. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for just every single blessing you have given us, God. We thank you that we are all sitting here this morning in your house, able to worship you in freedom and not having fear of what might happen this morning as we gather in your name, Lord. I just thank you just for the country that we are in and just all these blessings that we take for granted every day, Lord. And God, I just thank you so much for the week that we had with Bible school. Thank you so much for all the volunteers. I just pray that you'll bless the hands that had worked so hard to make this week so wonderful for your children. And I pray that every child that has attended this past week might have been touched in some way to just grow or come to know you. And Lord, I just pray that you're with each and every one of those children as they continue to grow, Lord. God, I just lift up so many of the names. You know the names that were mentioned today. You know the hurting and the pain and the sickness that is plaguing us. If it's not us who is sick, it's someone that we love dearly. From cancer and heart attacks, car accidents, Lord, we know that you are God. We know that you are in control. Sometimes it just doesn't, it's just hard to feel your power, Lord. And so I just pray that you will reach down and touch each and every person who is hurting, those who have mentioned things out loud, those who are holding things quietly, Lord. Each and every one of us is hurting in some way, and I know that you have the power to heal us. I know that you have the power to control everything and keep us from pain. But God, sometimes things still happen, and your power is with us, and you're walking with us, Lord, and you're carrying us when we don't know it. And so God, I just pray that your power can just be multiplied, and that your strength and your glory can be shown, and that we can all see that you are God and you are with us no matter what. And we just pray that you'll be with us this morning as we come into service, worshiping you, Lord, maybe learning a little more about you, glorifying you. I just pray that you open our hearts, open our minds, and that we can love you and love each other today and every day as we go into the week. In your name, amen. And now we'll sing another hymn, Take My Hand and Lead Me, Father, number 601. Probably rise, right? You can stand and we'll sing it together. I have another psalm for you. Just really been loving those this morning. Psalms 24, verse 1 again. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all its people belong to him. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much again. Our praise cannot be given to you enough. You have blessed us so much. And God, we just take this moment to acknowledge that everything that we have, everything that we touch, everything around us truly is yours, Lord. And so right now, we just give a little bit back to you. We ask you to bless it, to multiply it, and that your glory can be carried out through it, Lord. And we give you this week as we come into a new week and pray that all of our actions, all of our deeds, all of our words can be an offering to you. In your name, amen. Good morning. I might need your help today, okay? We're gonna try and build a bridge. And I'm not sure how this is gonna go. But you'll help me, right? Here, can you sit down, Benny? I'll put it right here. We're gonna try and link. I brought my kids' Lego toys. Have you ever built a bridge, Lucas?
Yeah.
Yeah? You're probably really good at it. Well, hang on. We want it to be level. There we go. Okay. So we need something to go here, right? So that my car can get from one side to the other. Okay? Because right now it doesn't work. So I have a piece of paper. Do you think this will work? It looks pretty big. I don't know. Yeah. I think we should try it, actually. Let's move this back further. Okay, let's try it. Oh boy, that didn't work. No, I think I read online that a piece of paper should work, though. What do you think I should do to this to make it stronger? You think if I fold it, that'll work? I don't know. Let's give it a shot. Let's see, because now it's like two pieces. It's not supposed to work like that. Let's see. I have another idea. Let's try to do this. It's like a tube now. Hang on, let me tape it. I brought tape. So that it doesn't move. We're going to make a tunnel. Now, that's really sturdy.
It worked. It worked. The piece of paper, the way it was, here, you can sit down now. The piece of paper, the way it was, wasn't strong enough. But yes, it was. It was too flimsy. But when we altered the shape of the paper, it became stronger. I want to read in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think." God is always changing us if we let him. He can change us and create us to be something new, from a piece of paper that does nothing to a strong bridge. God can use us if we let him. You were made for so much more. You were always made for more. And later in our sermon, we're going to, as soon as you go back to your seat, I'm going to read another verse, and it says that we are, God has chosen us to be his people. All right, guys, let's say a short prayer, okay? And then you can go back to your seats. Lord, thank you so much for your love for these children who will grow up to be your warriors and your leaders, Lord. I pray that you can constantly be shaping their hearts to love you more and more and to grow in wisdom and in stature, Lord. In your name, amen. Okay, guys, you can go back to your seat. I'll give you your car later.
I'll get that basket out of your way then, Richard. Don't want you to trip over it. All right. I'm going to be reading from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 10. "But you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness and into the wonderful light. Once you had no identity as a people, now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, now you have received God's mercy."
I have three premises. The first one is, there is God. The second one is, his son is Jesus. His third is, God sent us the Holy Spirit. We live in a society that doesn't have an awful lot of people believing that. It's an interesting factor here in the 21st century that we have a society that would say there is no God, there is no Jesus, there is no Holy Spirit. We can determine everything through science. Beatrice and I had the opportunity to visit the Creation Museum in Kentucky. And as we began to tour the museum, I kept asking, why have they built this? And as we came around one of the exhibits, there's a man talking to, I'm guessing his daughter, who I figure was about 12, a junior high student. And he was explaining how God created the Garden of Eden, and he created man, and he created Eve. And I'm like, this girl doesn't know this? And she is this age? And then as we went further through the museum, I saw a sign that said the reason that the Creation Museum was built was to fight against the idea of the Big Bang Theory. And so the whole museum is designed to show us God's creation, and that there is a God. The next day, we went on to Noah's Ark. And I stood there and looked at all the people who contributed money, and I found one local business that had had donated to the building of Noah's Ark. And I found it so interesting that coming from this congregation, this community, I would have never thought to myself that we need to build a creation museum and we need to build Noah's Ark. Never would have thought of that. 2 years ago in Washington, D.C., a museum was built to the Bible, and I'm looking forward to going to see that. I've read an article. The Jewish people say, well, they don't have enough emphasis on the Jewish culture. And so I'm looking forward to that one. But I got to thinking about the Big Bang Theory. I like to watch that, at least parts of it. And some I've seen 3 times, and when that happens, then I start surfing. But in this one, Sheldon, the main character, his best friends and he have a bowling tournament against his not friends. And it's down to the final roll of the last ball. If he can make a strike, his team wins. And so Sheldon rolled that bowling ball. And when the last pin fell, he jumped up in the air, he spun around and he said, "Thank you, Jesus." And then he started looking to see if his friends and not friends had heard him. But they were so loud with their jubilance or their growling that they never heard him say that. And that went totally against his principle. Because you see, growing up in Texas, his mother took him to, I'm guessing, a Southern Baptist church. And so every time he goes to visit her or she comes to visit him, she tries to get Christianity into the conversation, and he lets her know every time that he's not willing to listen to any of that. But she had taken him in those formative years. And so there he is, jumping up, spinning around, and hollering, "Thank you, Jesus." Well, you and I might wonder about that. But you see, whereas our world has spent so much time trying to, but let me say it this way. Since the devil has spent so much time sneaking little thoughts into your brain and mine to get us to do things that are not Christ's way, we need to look at this idea of God. Well, I think I'm speaking to the choir this morning, but you know, my question was, well, where do we first see God in the Bible? Well, I think it's on page 1, isn't it? And then as you go through the scriptures, God speaks to various people. You remember Moses, when he saw the burning bush, he starts heading for it. It's like, hey, what's going on here? There's this giant flame and it's not disintegrating. And then the voice, God, said, "Stop, take off your sandals, you're on holy ground." Well, you know, the Big Bang Theory would never allow for that statement. And then as we take a giant leap in this Old Testament, we get to Jeremiah chapter 9, 22 to 24. Now, you know, the problem with these children of Israel who had come out of Egypt is that when they didn't have some tactile thing in front of them, they would start building stone altars to some god. Where did that god come from? Well, it came from a culture that was not of God's choosing. And so here is God saying, to Jeremiah, "Say, this is what the Lord declares. The dead bodies of men will lie like refuse on the open field, like cut grain behind the reaper with no one to gather them. This is what the Lord says. Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boasts boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. In these I delight, declares the Lord." And so God's speaking to humankind at that point. And as we take these giant leaps through the Old Testament, we'll see God in his proclamations say he would call himself God of the angel armies. And he'd say, "I, God of the angel armies, decree this, that, the other thing." Again, we're seeing Jesus in this patterning. Our world is not as you and I would like it to be. And I'd like to give you an example. A friend of mine told me of what I call the dispersal of Christianity within our society. And it comes down to the idea that the law tells me I may whatever. This man's granddaughter and her husband came to visit. And the grandson-in-law had a pistol strapped to his side. And the man said to him, "Please take that gun and put it in your vehicle. We don't have guns in this house." And the man said, "I have a right. I have a permit. The law says I may carry this." And the man said, "I own this home, and I've decided there'll be no guns in this house." Well, the grandson-in-law left. He didn't tell me whether that young man came back in without the gun or not. But I think that's just one little twinkle in our eye of how our society has become other than Christ-centered. We're taught to have respect for each other, no matter what the law says. We cannot accept and we cannot empower the various groups of people because they've been empowered by other people. And then the other question that keeps popping into my mind is, well, are we really seeking to follow Christ? In what ways? In what ways would you see me seeking to follow Christ? In what ways would I see you? There are two sides to this humanity coin. You may have heard of these JOMO and FOMO, the joy of missing out. And that's defined as a feeling of contentment with one's own pursuits and activities without worrying over the possibility of missing out on what others might be doing. Or FOMO, which is the fear of missing out. You know, maybe somebody is doing something that I haven't had a chance to do and I didn't know about it, and they get excited about that. So there are two sides of this humanity coin. There's another factor. A friend of mine from out of town was talking to me about our Christianity, and he said that when he mentions Christ and salvation and the coming kingdom, people just laugh at him as though he's not dealing with reality. And his final comment was, "I do not know the day nor the hour of Christ's return, but I do know that it's one day closer than it was yesterday." One of the things that I learned as a kid coming to Little Swatara's Bible School across the fields here at the Ziegler Meeting House, Hannah Bowman, the mother of Jerry and Jim Bowman, would always have us learn a verse each day. And then the next day, we were all outside singing the Bible school songs. And then she would say, "Who can tell us a verse from yesterday?" And 99% of the kids were like, "What? We had a Bible verse yesterday?" But I would remember them. And there's a man named Jerry Kirk who wrote The Prayer Covenant. And Craig and Jenny Luckenbill just recently took a group of us through a study of that. And one of the things Jerry Kirk said was, memorize scripture. So one of the verses that I learned in Bible school, you probably learned too. So join with me, John 3:16. For God, that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him, now on radio station 940, they say that every once in a while. And then I always say, but give me verse 17 also. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Well, I guess there's good reason to memorize scripture, because after a while, we don't have to go hunting for it in the Bible every time. Some of you were at annual conference and were in worship Sunday morning. Some of you came here and were included in worship that day. And so you remember Tim Harvey spoke. And one of the things he said, that it would be easy to be a Christian and a worker in the kingdom if the many problems of the world would not be surrounding us. But he reminded us, that's not the way it is. We must work in the conditions in which he placed us. I spoke to a minister just this week from another denomination here in our community, and I said, what percentage of the people that hear the message of Christianity will believe it and follow it? And he said, 10%. I said, only 10%? He said, you should feel lucky that 10% of the people are willing to follow Christ. Well, that's sort of shocking to me. And that was his opinion. But as Tim Harvey said, we're surrounded by people who put Christianity on the back burner. And they are willing to disregard all the warnings about the end time. It's exciting to be a member of this congregation at this moment. Over the last few weeks, 5 people have been baptized to accept Christ. Next Sunday, 3 more. That's exciting. 8 people are saying, Christianity is the way to go, and I want to go there. The Holy Spirit is working in us. Well, how? What? What are the things we need to do? First, faith. We have to have faith. When Ashley was folding the paper and taping it so that it was a tube, I was thinking to myself, you know, that's ingenious. It does give it more strength. And yes, the car would roll through it. Well, how can we be like that piece of paper? How can we be strengthened in our faith? Our former president, Jimmy Carter, said, who created the singularity that later became the universe? How did this happen? Human beings can't comprehend this. Human consciousness can't encompass it. That strengthens my faith in a great and incomprehensible creator, rather than causing me to doubt the creation just because I don't think it happened in 6 days, or because I believe in evolution. Mahatma Gandhi, talking about faith, said, "Faith is nothing but a living, wide awake consciousness of God within." And so we need that faith. We need God within. Whether we understand it, Jimmy Carter says, so what? We have to have it. The second thing I see us needing to do is to ask for forgiveness. I grew up in a time in the 40s and 50s when this denomination and this congregation was very less like it is today than what some of you might expect. And I knew people who felt that they could no longer come to church because they had lived a life doing things that Christ would never accept. And for them, the second thing that I list, forgiveness, was not something that could happen. Today, as we read the scriptures, we see that God does forgive. Of course, we have to be true and honest about our forgiveness or asking for forgiveness, being sorry for what we've done. And the third part of what's important today as a Christian is to receive God's forgiveness, to say, okay, the devil's been working on me, but here I am. I'm determined that tomorrow I will do a better job of warding off those types of things than I did today. And so we have to have faith in God, although we don't understand it. We have to ask for forgiveness. We have to receive forgiveness by God in His mercy. And we must remember, God is merciful and He forgives our sins when we ask. Ashley read for us 1 Peter 2:9 and 10. That gives us a clue of what it is that God is dealing with us with. I know it's a dangling preposition. Former English students. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. The fact that you're here today is a sign that you're seeking to make life better, and you have a vision of life eternal with Christ Jesus. In hymn number 601, the words say, "When life is rough, ask Him to take your hand and lead you through life's stormy pilgrimage." Let's rise and turn to hymn number 416 as our closing hymn, "For Christ and the Church."
This week.